إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, in portfolio management, in teaching people how to invest, we talk about two kinds of investments. We talk about investments in appreciating assets, and we talk about investment in earning assets. Obviously, we don't talk about investing in depreciating assets, because that would be a very stupid thing to do. And that's why I call some of the depreciating assets that many of you like to invest in, which lose value 2 minutes after you drive them off the dealer's lot, otherwise known as cars. And the more expensive the car, the bigger a depreciating value it is. Depreciating. Well, I don't even think, how would you call something which depreciates in value an asset? So it's not an asset, it's a depreciating value liability. But anyway, we are not on that subject. Subject I'm talking about is appreciating assets and earning assets. Now, an appreciating asset is, say for example, like gold. So you buy gold and you buy it and you put it in your locker or somewhere, you store it, and the value of this gold hopefully appreciates, which is dependent on the market value. But that's only one piece of that appreciation. On the other hand, say for example, if you buy real estate. Now again, not a general rule, because real estate in the US also depreciates. But I'm saying in this country, for example, if you buy real estate, then it does two things, especially if you buy rental property. Then it does two things. One is that it appreciates in value, depending on the market. And second thing is that you are also getting a rental income from that. So you're getting twice the earning. So one is the value of the property itself goes up, and secondly, you are getting a rental income from that property on a regular basis. So among these two things, which is appreciating assets and earning assets, obviously the earning assets are better to do, and if you have money, then you should park it there. The reason I'm saying that is that the same thing applies also to the Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specially sent us a month, the month of Ramadan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the multiplier. And the multiplier Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it from 1 to 70. So any good deed that you do in this month gets multiplied 70 times. So if you give, for example, 100 rupees in sadaqah, multiply that by 70 times, 7,000 rupees. So it's equivalent to giving 7,000 rupees in sadaqah at any other time. So this is purely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, you and I did not do anything to bring this month about. Even if you could bring the month, you could not have set this rule, because which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is giving it. So therefore, now you've got a month in which there is this huge ability to earn. And this is what Rasulullah used to do. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's whole life and his whole focus was always on being charitable. He was the most generous of people. But he said in Ramadan he completely changed that whole thing, the entire equation changed. He was generous in the whole year, but in Ramadan he said that the level of his generosity was unimaginable. Even if he had nothing at home, sometimes he would even borrow and give people who needed help. So he would take the liability on their behalf and he would help them in their hour of need. Now, similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore gave us opportunities in Ramadan and out of Ramadan to build for ourselves appreciating assets and earning assets. Now, appreciating assets, you might say, is, for example, your ibadat. Your personal ibadat, the amount of Quran you read, the salah you pray, all the tahajjud and so on, the nawafil, all your zuhud, your fasting, hajj, umrah, all of these personal ibadat are appreciating assets, because you invested something in that, your effort, and some money in some cases, because if you go to hajj and so on, you're spending some money also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward for that. But then there are also earning assets. For example, the building of masajid, establishment of masajid. Now take this masjid for example. Masjid was established somebody donated the space. Now, what is the meaning of that? It means that from the minute that space was donated, every single person who prayed in this masjid, the reward of that salah obviously went to that person who prayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take from one to give to the other. But every single person who prayed in this masjid, the sawab goes to the people who donated the space for this masjid. What about the people who spend time to maintain the masjid? Take Muzaffar and so on, who do khidmat of this masjid, they're sweeping it and cleaning it and whatnot, and the toilets and whatnot. It's exactly the same thing. They get the reward for every single person who prays in this masjid. Now imagine from this is about 8 years, 8 years on, alhamdulillah, bismillahi ta'ala, there are literally thousands of people who have prayed in this masjid, including some big ulama and so on. I'm not sitting here to say whose level is what with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. But I'm saying that the reward of the salah of all those people also goes to the people who are serving in that space. May Allah bless him, Hafiz bhai, who calls the adhan every day. Everyone who comes to pray, sawab goes to him. Talk about the people, and I'm not going to name anybody because they don't want to be named, but talk about the people who spend money in the furnishing of the masjid, for example. The carpets and this and that and whatnot. Every single person who prays, sawab goes to them. Talk about the people who take Azhar and all that, Azhar, Umair, Ashfaq and the others, who help set up this whole IT setup for this masjid and whatnot, so that the, whatever happens here goes all over the world. The sawab for that goes to every single one of them. Maulana who comes, may Allah bless him, now 7-8 years for Tarawih. And then of course he helps in the khutbahs and so on and so forth. Even when I'm not here, sawab goes to him forever. The point is, here is an earning asset where the sawab of this goes, and this will continue to go until when? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to keep this masjid on the face of this earth. This will continue. And even if, for whatever reason, this masjid ceases to exist, right? It shut down, closed down, earthquake, building fell down, God knows what. Allah knows best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this masjid and all masajid from all harm and all evil. So even if that happens, it is my belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give the rewards of that masjid in the same way that he used to give when the masjid was there, even after the masjid has ceased to exist. Now, what is my dalil for saying this? Why am I saying this? Is this by, some futur or my aqidat or something? No, I have a dalil for this, inshallah, musta'an, and Marana is here, he can correct me if I am wrong. Rasulullah said, when a person does an amal with istiqamat, say for example, you pray tahajjud every day, right? Whichever amal. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this person, because of age, because of illness or whatnot, is unable to do that amal anymore. Right? He can't do it anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes that amal to be written in his book of records until the last day of his life, even though he's not doing the amal. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the malaika are, they've got a job to do. So they, if now the amal is not there, so they say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, he has not done the amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has not done the amal because of my qadr that I wrote for him. If I had not written this qadr for him, he would have done the amal, therefore write the amal for him. So now somebody who used to pray tahajjud for whatever reason, somebody used to fast for whatever reason, age and so on and so forth, they are unable to fast. There are so many old people, alhamdulillah. The fidya is a different issue. Fidya is an issue of sharia. But the point is, the amal of the fasting, the amal of the tahajjud and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause that to be written in their amal until they die, even though they are not doing that. Taking this dalil, inshallah al-musta'an, with my belief in the generosity and the karam of my Rabb, I say that people who establish masajid, people who do the khidmat of masajid, people who invest in establishing their masajid, because this establishment is not only donating land, or building a building, it's to maintain it and to continue it and so on and so on and so on. All of these people, inshallah al-musta'an, will get a reward for that masjid, even if the masjid ceases to exist, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this earth alive. Not only their lifetime, until the day of judgment, that reward will come into their into their books of account. This is the meaning of an earning asset. As far as masajids are concerned. Inshallah al-Mustaan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever I'm saying here. The same thing applies to madaris. The same thing applies to all the sha'ar of Islam. Whatever is a work of Islam, whatever is a work of goodness and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward, because my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, He is generous and His treasures have no boundaries, and He does not count and give. He is not an accountant. He does not count and give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. In the Quran, everywhere where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even where, for example, the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that a person spends one dirham in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is like a seed planted and so on, and you know, 7 years of corn, and each one has a hundred seeds, so 1:700, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah will give as much as He wants. So even where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically counted something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then ends it by saying, but Allah will give what He wants. Because it is not the shan of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu to count and give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no, there's no counters in it. And similarly, the vice versa is also true, which is, I talked about people establishing masajid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned those who stop masajid, who stop people from praying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hud, Allah said, أَلَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who hinder others, those who stop others, those who prevent others from praying. Somebody is praying, somebody wants to go to the masjid, you can't go here. Somebody wants to pray, you can't pray here. Somebody, you can't move this, can't move that, shut down the masjid, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people who, on the day of judgment, they will be among the kafirin. They will be among the disbelievers. On a side note, it's a little bit of an amusing story. In Hajj time in Saudi Arabia, this happens regularly. You have to get a, you know, Hajj pass and so on. Of course, from here, people who go from other countries, they've got visas and all. But even if you are going from Saudi, in 2003, I was living there. So I just took a pass and I went. So even people who are living there, you still have to get a pass and so on. And there are gates where, you know, you are checked. But a lot of the Arabs, I asked someone, because when you go there, it's this enormous crowd, huge crowd. So I said, look, did so many people, they get passed? They said, no, they don't get passed. You know what they do? They said, they come at the last minute, literally the day of Hajj, when the people are going to Mina, they come, and at the gate, when the security guard stops them, they recite this ayat of the Quran. They said, they are those, أَلَّذِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. Then when they recite that, they're first, لَا حَوْلَ قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, go, get out from here, go away, go away, go away. He leaves them because he says, I don't want to be called as somebody who stopped someone from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, obviously, this behavior is not exactly correct, because if there is a system, we should follow the system, alhamdulillah. But I'm saying that people of Iman, people who have Iman in their hearts, even something like this, the man says, look, the man is quoting Quran and I will not stand in the path of that. When he's quoting Quran, khalas, whatever it is, it is not, the issue is not there. So both are there. I mean, there is an earning asset, and there is also actions and assets which will earn the fire of Jahannam. Both are equally true. In this context, my favorite story is Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu and the date palm, the date tree. Inshallah, when we have time, I don't want to extend today's. But the same issue, one date tree. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled your Jannah with date palms. How much did it cost him to get that date tree? I mean, he spent a lot. The whole story is beautiful, inshallah. Maybe tomorrow or something, I'll narrate it in detail. But I'm just saying that it is very important for us to understand and to ensure that we do this in this month, which is especially in this month, but also throughout our lives. Invest in earning assets for the Akhirah. One action you do one day, but the effect of that action stays with you until the day of judgment. Inshallah, Mustafa. And remember, both ways. One good action you do, and this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said, whatever you have, if you teach something good to somebody, that will continue to earn reward for you as long as it keeps on going, and vice versa to something about something which is bad. So whatever is good, Let us make sure that we do something good, and let us make sure that we do not do something bad, because if we do something bad, then the same thing applies. We need on the day of judgment, believe me, when we meet Malakul Maut in this world, we need to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, all of this so-called Jaho Jalal which we have in this world will become worthless. And for a lot of people, it will become a liability. Not just worthless. It would be good if it just became worthless, zero. At least you are at zero. But this will become a minus. It will become a liability because of what you did with that stuff. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that, to enable us to invest in earning assets which will earn for us in the akhirah, and to save us from doing things which will earn for us the fire of Jahannam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.